A lot of research has been done to answer one of nutrition's most basic questions. What is a healthy diet? While the occasional meal of junk food is okay, it is still important to make good eating habits that will maintain our health. Carolyn Denton joins us today. As a licensed nutritionist, Carolyn's work focuses on nutrition for general health and disease prevention, and as a complementary therapy for existing chronic and degenerative diseases. In addition to nutritional counseling, Carolyn has developed and implemented nutritional programs addressing specific health concerns. Welcome to the Take 5 for Your Health and Well-Being podcast. I'm your host, Jacques LaRouge. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
To start, what is your philosophy on healthy eating?
My philosophy and practice of nutrition is based on the notion that food is information for the body. All food contains nutrients, and each of those nutrients has very specific jobs to do in the body. No function in the body can occur really without these the nutrients getting the ball rolling. As an example, to go to sleep at night, the body has to make or synthesize serotonin. And in order to make serotonin, you need protein, very specifically tryptophan, which we find in milk, the old-fashioned warm glass of milk before bed. It's in turkey and soy and many, many other proteins. So you need protein, specifically tryptophan. You need vitamin C, vitamin B6, folic acid, B12, oral vitamin D, magnesium, complex carbohydrates. So if any one of those pieces of information is missing, you cannot really make serotonin, and therefore you're not going to be going to sleep at night. So the point is to get in the diet foods, you know, the focus would be foods to include rather than foods to exclude, as you were saying in your introduction. You know, it's okay to have some junk food, but not instead of getting some broccoli and other things that will give better information to the body.
So in today's age, where dieting culture has become a fad and it's based around cutting things out, how has it impacted people's perceptions of healthy eating since it is, like you said, cutting down on foods instead of getting this list of vitamins and ingredients into your diet?
Right. Yes. And I think the biggest example of that is the whole low-fat craze that went on for decades and, frankly, is still going on. I'm surprised at how many people I meet with that really don't. They're like, oh, no, that's fatty. I shouldn't have that. And really, the low diets, as I call them, low fat, low carbohydrate, low calorie. Lots of people don't eat protein because it has fat in it. They really, in the concept of food as information, really keep the body from being able to function, basically. And in fact, the new study just came out that said low carbohydrate diets, which is really the trend now, are actually very harmful in the long term for our health. And they have oodles of data to support that, you know, for the heart, for mental health particularly. All of those things need, you can't take out a whole macronutrient. And there are only three macronutrients, protein, fat, and carbohydrate. And you can't really take one of those out and be able to sustain general health.
What about home cooking makes it healthier than eating at a restaurant?
First of all, eating at home is less expensive, so that's sort of healthy for us to save money. But when we eat out at restaurants, you're never quite sure, unless it's a place that you know well, what kind of ingredients they're using, whether they're fresh, you know, whether where they've come from particularly. A lot of restaurants tend to maybe overdo salt and sugar and fat, which are yummy, but maybe in excess in dishes that are prepared in a restaurant. Whereas at home, you can control those things. I think going out offers an ease, which is why people, you know, if they haven't thought of what to have, it's so much easier to go out. But if you just make a little extra effort to with that planning, you can get ahead of it and overall be more healthy because you're choosing the quality of the food that you're eating.
With the thought that you suggest people put into their meals, could you provide some general dietary guidelines our listeners could use? For instance, what do you fill your shopping cart with at the grocery store?
One of the things that I tell my clients is, because I think that people don't get enough vegetables. They just don't get vegetables. Vegetables are really fussy. They need preparation or chopping or cooking, you know, whereas a fruit or a packaged something certainly is much easier. So I like to think of looking at the plate or whatever you're eating and making sure that about half of it is vegetables, which takes some doing in some ways. You know, I think that people sort of have to meet themselves where they are in terms of their interest in cooking or their ability to afford certain things. But to have the plants be sort of a forward part of the diet. So when I'm shopping, I try to get as much fresh as I can, but often that's not going to be as convenient. So I think frozen vegetables are terrific. I mean, they are often maybe more nutritious than something that's traveled across the country because they're often flash frozen right out of the field. And so that kind of preserves the nutrients. And so, and they're convenient because you can keep them for some time in the refrigerator, or in the freezer rather. I think the other part of the plate should be, you know, a quarter of it should be a good healthy protein. And complex carbohydrates, which include fruit and whole grains and legumes like black beans and refried beans and lentils and things like that. I think one of the things that helps get food is that planning, purchasing, and then preparing. I think that when people cook, they should maybe make extra. You know, I often will make all the wild rice, or I'll make, if I'm making chicken, I'll make a lot of it, or, you know, those kinds of things so that there's food for the next day, or so you don't have to recreate every meal that you're going to be having, that you can have leftovers or take that and put it in a tortilla or something like that.
What advice would you give to a listener who is trying to eat healthier, but finds healthy foods unappetizing?
I would say that it's about flavor. Even with something like quinoa, which is a grain that people cooks very quickly, and it doesn't have a lot of taste, but it's really healthy because it's got so much protein and it's a nice complex carbohydrate. But by itself, it doesn't really taste that great. So people often, when they taste quinoa, go, I don't really like it. But if you add a flavor to that, even some mushrooms or golden raisins and curry, or I'm famous for sauces. I will take even like an apricot jam, take a tablespoon or two of that and thin it slightly with some water and just put it into the wild rice or put it into the quinoa. And suddenly the quinoa is like, oh, well, that tastes really nice because it's got some sweetness and a little bit of flavor.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. And there's those little simple tricks in many stores, Trader Joe's, Target even. They have a lot of pre-made sauces that you can make almost anything taste better with. I think the other thing is a simple knowledge of spices. You know, for instance, if if you want something to have a little bit of an Italian flavor, you know, taking even a protein or a grain or anything, and adding basil or fennel, onions, parsley, garlic, oregano, and rosemary, that tastes differently than that same food that you might add chili peppers and cilantro and cumin or sesame oil or sesame seeds. So I think that even knowing those flavors from different cultures really makes a difference in trying to make something that is healthy more appetizing, like a broccoli by itself. But if you add sesame oil and toasted sesame seeds, just even a little sprinkle of them, it makes it taste so delicious. And it's that kind of, I think that's the key flavor.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
I talked a lot about foods to include and not so much about what to exclude, but there, having said that, there are some things that are present in the standard American diet or the SAD, SAD diet, that I would have people try and avoid if they can. Certainly simple sugars are everywhere, too much corn syrup, things like that, to really watch those in the diet. Also, there's a lot of additives and preservatives and colorings, artificial sugars, in addition to the refined sugars. And those pieces of information bring about negative consequences to the body. Food colorings, for instance, one of my sons even, you know, he was sensitive to coloring, and I think a lot of kids react that way and or to preservatives in foods, and they bring about negative consequences to the body. The body doesn't really know what to do with those kinds of things, and so it works very hard to detoxify from them, like a red dye number 40. There's no purpose for that, and so the body needs to scramble and get rid of it. So I would say, if you can, don't eat foods that are monkeyed with.
All right. Well put. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Minnesota's Earl E. Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing. I've been your host, Jacques LaRouge, a student communications assistant here at the center. Visit takingcharge.csh.umn.edu for more information on a variety of health and well-being topics. On Taking Charge, you can create goals, take short self-assessments, and explore many articles, tips, and videos from well-being experts.